In 1920, just after the end of the First World War and during the third wave of the last worldwide pandemic, the Spanish flu, Weldon Philip Keller was born to missionary parents serving in Kenya at the time. He understood what it meant to believe in Jesus from a young age. However, between negative experiences at boarding schools, overbearing examples from Western fire and brimstone kind of preachers that he encountered on furlough, and then the untimely early death of his mother, Keller became an angry, self-absorbed, and prideful young man. He was a person who was distracted by competing voices, some calling him to become more than his best efforts, others belittling the efforts he even made. But worst of all was that echoing voice of his own pride that blinded him to the value of others and the created world around him. If competing voices were hard to ignore 100 years ago, they might be even harder to ignore now. We are overwhelmed by the voices and opinions of too many perspectives on too many topics. The frequency whereby we access information and have information directed to us continues to climb at an alarming rate, affecting more and more people at younger and younger ages. We are vulnerable and can be easily swayed. Our short attention spans have grown shorter, and it seems we get trapped in a repetitive cycle that slowly takes away our enthusiasm and our optimism. You know, there's a humorous video, short video, about a sheep getting stuck in a rocky crevice. It's been circulating on social media over the last few weeks. The sheep is freed by the shepherd or a farmer, and then the sheep celebrates by jumping into the air and then falling right back into the crevice, stuck, immobile. And so if you were ever offended by or doubted that statement, "We all like sheep have gone astray," then that probably should be removed, as many of us have gone through those cycles that trap us over and over again, often because of the competing voices that influence our behavior. It is no accident that God has chosen to call us sheep. The behavior of sheep and human beings is similar in many ways. Our mass mind or mob instincts, our fears and timidity, our stubbornness and stupidity, our perverse habits are all parallels of profound importance. And yet, despite these adverse characteristics, Christ chooses us, buys us, calls us by name, and makes us his own, and delights in caring for us. Those are words written by Philip Keller in his most popular book, A Shepherd's Look at the 23rd Psalm. That book was first written in 1970 as Keller reflected back upon his life. Today, as we continue this uncommon Experiencing Jesus in Everyday Spaces series, we want to focus our attention on listening for one voice, the voice of Jesus in a world of competing voices. Every voice seeks to influence our thinking and our action, and we are all subject to these competing voices that call out to us. There are physical voices that call out to us when we're hungry, sick, or tired. We have emotional voices that call out to us when we're sad, happy, angry, joyful, or just bah. We can listen to voices that make us afraid or encourage us to be courageous. We can listen to voices that represent the views of our peers, parents, or political views. Listening to any of these voices in isolation from others is never helpful, and in fact, they will often conflict with each other. Maybe even lead us into conflict with others and leave us feeling overwhelmed, uncertain, and conflicted. Like sheep, we are listeners. We are looking for direction. We are open to direction because we have needs and we long to be fulfilled. In John 10, Jesus speaks the third and fourth I am statements. I am the gate and I am the good shepherd. He repeats each of those twice. And as he does, Jesus invites us to listen and for his voice, the voice of Jesus, is the one that allows us to experience contentment and fulfillment together with others as one family being led by one Savior in whom we find protection and healing forever. Let's read verses 7 to 18 together. Let me encourage you to open your Bible or Bible app so that you can interact with God's Word yourself. Press pause on the video if you need to. Ready? It says, "Therefore Jesus said again, 'Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he's a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I receive from my Father." As Jesus speaks this time, he prefaces his words with "very truly" or "verily, verily," it might say in your English translation. These are words that have deep meaning, truth that literally means amen. Normally used in an ending and to signal agreement, it's used in this manner as a declaration of "this is deep stuff coming." And as we listen to this, it's important that Jesus warns us that there will be competing voices. He describes them as thieves and robbers. Thieves are those who want to take from you for their own gain. They use you for their own ends. They are scheming and deceitful in the promises that they make without regard for how it impacts your life. Robbers are a different breed. They are abusive, they wound, they oppress, they demand, and they violate without respect or discretion. Those kinds of voices are still prevalent and active in our culture today. As people who are like sheep, one is too many that would follow the voices of thieves and robbers. Jesus' reminder is to listen for the one voice of the shepherd that comes from the gate. Jesus is the means by which we experience contentment and fulfillment in life. You see that? He says in verse 9, "I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They come in and go and find pasture." That is contentment. He goes on in verse 10 to say, "The thief only comes to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." And that is abundance, fulfillment, and purpose. Jesus is that one voice. He calls us to himself as the gate or the entry point to experiencing a fulfilling life. All other voices will lead us toward a path that is ultimately unsatisfying and costly. In fact, as Jesus would continue to speak, he contrasts the destruction that results from the thief and robber with the eternal protection that he offers to men and women, boys and girls, as they respond to his one voice and enter into a relationship with him. Look further down at verses 27 to 29. He says, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given to me is greater than all, and no one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." The gate was the means by which the sheep entered into a pen or area. That area was normally fenced off in some manner, usually with a stone wall. it wasn't uncommon to have a couple of different flocks of sheep within one pen. And you might think that could be confusing for the shepherds of each flock or even the sheep. But actually, it wasn't, and it still isn't. Sheep respond to one voice. And if you place more than one flock of sheep in a field or pen or around a watering hole, they'll gather. And at the sound of their shepherd's voice, they will move, but not to any others. A few years ago, I met a father and son who shepherded two different flocks. And I asked them about this very thing, and they assured me that it was true. And if one of them, in a rare instance, where they needed to be away, the other actually was unable to call their flock unless they had the dog of that flock with them. The sheep also responded to the distinctive tone of the dog as well. The shepherd has a personal interest and commitment to the sheep. Their hired hand is only providing a function, and if things get tough, they'll likely be unable or uncommitted or unavailable to look after the sheep. The hired hand doesn't care enough about the well-being of the sheep over and above himself. The danger of entrusting your care to the hired hand is that when their presence is gone, the sheep are vulnerable to being scattered, fragmented, disunified. The shepherd, Jesus emphasizes five different times, is willing to lay his life down for the sheep. You know, at the beginning of a day, the shepherd would stand by the gate and call out his sheep, call out the flock of sheep and lead them to open pasture where they were free to feed, to find contentment within the vastness of the shepherd's fields. And at the end of the day, the shepherd would call them again and lead them back to the pen. As each sheep would enter the pen, the shepherd would not only ensure that they had all returned, but he would examine each one to see if any were wounded, injured, or sick. The shepherd devoted himself to caring for his sheep. And then in these ancient shepherding cultures, it wouldn't be uncommon for a shepherd to close the gate of the pen and then lay down across the threshold of the gate, laying himself down so that no intruder could get in without him being aware. The shepherd protected the lives of the sheep at risk and sacrifice to his own well-being. The sheep followed one voice as one family following one shepherd. The shepherding imagery is another consistent thread through the entire fabric of the Bible. Earlier we read Psalm 23. It's a psalm for the journey of life, for it speaks to pace and provision, rest and refreshment. It's perhaps the chief example of God's care for us. And if that's the case, then Ezekiel 34 reminds us of the importance of not getting distracted by the competing voices of the day, so that we can allow the Lord as our shepherd to continue to care for us and to speak his voice into our lives. The passage begins with a word of warning in verses 1-6 for those who would succumb to the self-serving voices and neglect the necessary care of those entrusted to their service. God then says these words that describe the fullness of life, the purposefulness and tender care that he desires to give to all people in verses 11-16. He says, "For this is what the sovereign Lord says, I myself will search for the sheep and look after them. As a shepherd looks after his scattered flock when he is with them, so will I look after my sheep. I will rescue them from all the places where they were scattered on a day of clouds and darkness. I will bring them out from the nations and gather them from the countries. I will bring them into their own land. I will pasture them on the mountains of Israel, in the ravines and in all the settlements of the land. I will tend them in a good pasture, and the mountain heights of Israel be their grazing land. There they will lie down in good grazing land, and there they will feed in rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. I myself will tend my sheep and have them lie down, declares the sovereign Lord. I will search for the lost and bring back the strays. I will bind up the injured and strengthen the weak, but the sleek and the strong I will destroy. I will shepherd the flock with justice." Under the one voice of Jesus, all kinds of different people from all nations will unite as one family under one name by one Spirit. and notice that he isn't just some ordinary shepherd. He is distinctively good. He is the good shepherd. This isn't when, like, you know, you ask someone how their day was and they mumble good as a reflex, right, with no meaning. The goodness of God is unique and divinely other. Good is the character of godliness through which the world was created. Goodness speaks not only about value, but also to what is useful. It's about ordinary, everyday objects or actions that are purposeful, kingdom purposeful. Goodness is not just doing good, but being connected to the holiness of God, from whom all goodness flows. Because of his goodness, Jesus, our good shepherd, is able to bring contentment, fulfillment, and purpose to our lives. He doesn't come to deceive, he comes to relieve. He doesn't come to take, he comes to give. He doesn't seek his own glory, but the glory of God. He doesn't run from danger, but he holds us within the danger. He doesn't discard our lives, but he saves them for all eternity as we respond to his one voice. Just like Philip Keller did. One night, seeking refuge from the confusion and tyranny of the voices that were competing for his attention, Philip slipped into a church in British Columbia. And well, let's hear it in his words. He says, "Amid my anger and hostility, I had literally turned my back on God. In the fury of my frustration, I felt he really had not been concerned about my plight. And as I bungled my way through life in bewilderment, I blamed him for my dilemma. That night in that church, deep conviction came over me because of my crude conduct and my atrocious attitudes to both God and men. In the bright, intense light of God's word, I perceived myself as a prodigal. In profound penitence and genuine remorse, I turned again to Christ, seeking reconciliation." In this month's newsletter for the SEMC, I mentioned a book written by Scott McKnight and Laura Berenger. It's called A Church Called Tov. The word Tov is a Hebrew word for good. In their introduction, they speak of the potential of the church in response to the one voice of Jesus. And they say it this way: a spirit-formed, Christ-like culture nurtures truth, offers healing for the wounded, seeks opportunities to show redemptive grace and love, focuses on serving others rather than on being served, and looks for ways to establish justice in the daily paths of life. A Christ-like church always has its eyes on people because the mission of the church is all about God's redemptive love for people. People, like sheep, need affirming attention and meticulous care that can only be brought through the truth-bearing, goodness-instilling, ever-present voice of Jesus. We must learn to cultivate rhythms in our lives where we are attentive toward, listening to, and acting upon the voice of Jesus. Not someone else's opinion of the voice of Jesus, but his truth. You know, despite the advancements made in technology and the ease of access that we now have to scripture and biblical teaching, we are a Canadian culture that is drifting further away from the compassionate expression of truth from as it relates to God. It is possible that we have become entirely distracted by the multitude of competing voices and no longer recognize or respond to the voice of Jesus. And if that's you, let me encourage you to do something this week. Let me encourage you to cut the influence of competing voices in half. If it's social media, cut it in half. If it's newscasts on television, cut it in half. If it's fictional reading, cut it in half. If it's your neighbor's gossiping, cut it in half. If it's your own voice of self-pity or self-deprecation staring back at you in the mirror, cut that time in half, and then replace that time by being attentive to the voice of Jesus, our good shepherd, who laid his life down so that you might live this life with contentment and experience a taste of the abundant fulfillment that he offers now, but will extend into eternity because you are known completely by him. Make additional effort to read God's word, listening for his voice. Speak to him about what you're reading. Give thanks to him daily for his provision and faithful care towards you. And for those of you who are writing or rewriting your stories of faith, here's a question I want you to think about this week. Name a time where you felt the assurance of being held by the presence of God, despite a difficulty or the contrary opinions of others. The promise of a peace-filled contentment is impossible to quantify, but it is undeniable when we experience it. It's part of your story about how the Good Shepherd has provided, nurtured, and healed. So name a time where you felt the assurance of being held by the presence of God, despite a difficulty or the contrary opinion of others. Let me encourage you to do that today. The voice of Jesus is the one voice that allows us to experience contentment and fulfillment. Are you listening and responding to his voice? Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for this time that we could share in your word and for hearing the very words of Jesus spoken to us. He said he is the gate. He says he is the good shepherd. And Father, we thank you for new life that is experienced as we enter through the gateway that Jesus provides. And I pray for those, Father, who have yet to make that decision to enter into the gate of eternal life that Jesus calls us to. Father, may today be a day of salvation for some. And perhaps today, Father, is a day of reconciliation, a day of reckoning for others who have recognized that they are listening to competing voices and have tuned out the voice of Jesus in their lives. May today be a day of restoration, where we learn to dim those competing voices and recognize the love and the care that you desire to give. Thank you for being the good shepherd. And so, Father, there are those who are wounded. There are those who have strayed. There are those who are lost. There are those who are hurting. And we pray, God, that you indeed would bind their wounds, that you would bring healing, that you would chase them down. You would be relentless in your pursuit of them, that they would recognize your love. And so, God, would you do that? And would you use us where we are needed in that process, we pray. And so we commit ourselves to you afresh, desiring to listen to your voice and to be obedient in the way in which we serve you. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.